And good morning. If you would, please turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 22. Again, it's good to be back with you, and I've been gone more than normal just in these last couple of months and still have a few more trips planned, but glad to be back home, and appreciate for those who help and supply in our absence. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 3 will be my text today. Proverbs 22, verse 3. The Bible reads, "And a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." Anyone who has driven a car realizes that you cannot hold the steering wheel in one place and get very far. The reason for this is that the road itself is imperfect and therefore it's not straight. Plus, the linkages and bearings wear out, and the car tends to drift. Tire wear will also pull the car to the right or to the left. So then, it is necessary to adapt the wheel to the course and all of its features. In doing so, small changes at the steering can keep the car on the road and in the proper lane. A careful and safe driver will be making innumerable corrections when driving. Now, I understand the same is true, and I was told by a pilot that piloting an airplane is just like that. A few months back, we had an opportunity to get Chad a flying lesson on one of those small Cessna-type airplanes. Now, our friend-slash-instructor taught Chad enough to get the plane off the ground and into the air. I thought we weren't going to make it, but we did. We got up into the air, and then it was Chad's responsibility to keep the nose up, but not too far. To keep it down, but not too far. To maintain the correct pitch and roll. I recall the instructor telling Chad, "Flying is making a series of small adjustments. Don't make big corrections, make small ones." So Chad had to learn to barely tilt the wheel or to slightly pull back. Not too fast and not too much, but little was good. Therefore, as in driving a car, the pilot must make minor adjustments on a regular basis. Now, with these two examples in your mind, I would like to look into our text and discuss the importance of course correction. It is my objective to remind each of us that as we travel through this life, we must make corrections. We must adjust to the road. I further submit to you that small adjustments are better than large. For if we wait too late to change course or to correct the error, the results might be tragic. So I speak to you from our text today, a message which I have entitled, Course Adjustment. Let's pray. Father, thank you once again for the privilege of being in your house. And Lord, we pray for those who could not be with us due to sickness or providential hindrance. Lord, that you'd be with those who are traveling, keep them safe. Those that are sick, that you would heal them and raise them up. We pray for those who just have a lack of concern of being in your house, that, Lord, that you would pull on their heartstrings and draw them back to you and back to your house. But we thank you for those who are here today, and we love you today, and we honor you, and we praise you. And we ask that as we study your word, that you would just bless that word as it goes forth, and the message which you've laid upon my heart, that as I share it, it might be shared with a proper attitude and proper perspective, and it might be received as such, that each of us might be blessed. And we do pray if there's any here today that is lost, that you would convict them of their sin, draw them to Jesus, grant repentance and faith, that they might be saved even today. And Lord, we'll give you the honor and the glory. We give you the praise, and we know that you're God and there is none other. So we worship you today. Bless our time, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we think about course adjustment from our text today, I want to remind you, and I think it's easy for us to make this connection, that life is a path, a course that we must follow. And it will have its highs and it will have its lows. Life will bear to the right and it will bear to the left. It will have its turns. It's even going to have a few dead ends on occasion. And as in driving, the road of life has rules and guidelines. And by the way, the Bible tells us how best to traverse this road. But if we ignore the rules of the road or elect to drive in our own way, then we will find ourselves off the beaten path. We might drive off into a ditch or off into a mountain pass. But one thing is certain, my friend, life is not perfect, nor the people in it. Therefore, we must make adjustments all along the way. And so we look into our text, considering course adjustment, chapter 22, verse 3. I would like to, first of all, discuss the text, and then we will look at an application of the text, and then a practical application. Verse 3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Now, what I see in this verse are two types of people that are very evident. We have what is termed here as the prudent man, and we have one who is the simple. So we have the prudent and the simple. The Hebrew word for the word prudent here means someone who is cunning. And that could be in a negative sense or in a positive sense, but someone who is cunning. Therefore, the word may be translated as crafty, or someone who is prudent or subtle. We often think of it in the matter of being wise. There's some wisdom here. He can make some discernment. And so we have a prudent individual. And then we have, as adverse to that, in contrast, a simple person. Now that word simple in the Hebrew simply means silly. That is, one who is seducible, can be tricked, easily deceived. Therefore, the word may be translated as one who is foolish. And of course, we have in our text a simple person. So we have these two individuals that are being expressed here. And of course, we know that people as a whole will be from one extreme to the other and everywhere in between. And so you might have a simple individual, you might have an extremely wise individual, and everybody falls between those gamuts. And so we know that some might be a little bit more foolish than others, some might be a little bit wiser than others, but we have two individuals mentioned, wise and foolish. Now, you also find in the text that there are two kind of events that are referred to. I say referred to because it says in the text, a prudent man foreseeth the evil. He sees the evil. And there's no discussion of the opposite of that. But what we have a reference toward is those things in life that are evil, those things that are unrighteous. And so implied is the contrast of those things that are not evil or those things that are righteous. And I judge that we understand that this is true as we go through life. There are things that are good and there are things that are evil. There are things that are righteous and there are things that are unrighteous. And so the text is telling us and giving us instruction that a wise man will see that which is bad, that which is evil, that which is unrighteous, and he's going to hide himself from it. That's the whole intent. So as we go through life, not everything is evil. Not everything is bad. But two people are being discussed with two types of activity or events being referred to. Now you also find in this passage then two different responses are listed. What are they? Well, the prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, so there could be avoidance. But the simple pass on and are punished. And so the two responses are, you're either going to avoid it or you're going to accept it. You're going to be active in it. And so as we look at our life and we see this text unfold before us, we see these two individuals going through life and they see these events. And when evil pops up on the road, the wise person sees it and is going to turn away. The foolish person is going to follow after. Just keep right on going. It's just like if you're driving a car and you see a sign there that says bridge out. You're dumb if you just keep right on driving without any restraint. Because there's a bridge out, and you're going to go right off into the river or into the valley. And so we have these two responses. And every event of our life, we're going to respond in those two ways. We're either going to avoid it or we're going to be active in it. Whether it be good or whether it be evil, we have those two responses. We're going to either involve ourselves with that which is righteous and holy and avoid the evil, or we're going to involve ourselves in the evil and avoid that which is righteous. So we have this text discussing these two responses. And so then we can determine from this passage as well that there are two consequences which result. It says that a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. And so it's really a matter of blessing or judgment. The word punishment there. So the simple person sees something that's wrong, but he's just going to keep right on going. You can expect punishment out of that. That's not a blessing, is it? It's judgment. And so as we go through life and as we assess our situation and we see things that are good and things that are evil, we have to make choices. Are we going to continue on or are we going to avoid it? Will we be blessed or will we be cursed? Will we receive judgment? Now the verse is very clear that the lesson is this. To avoid judgment, there must be some foresight. Isn't that what it says in the beginning of the verse? And it talks about a wise man who will have this. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But the simple, he sees it, but he just keeps right on going. And so what we have here is to avoid punishment, we must have some foresight and respond appropriately. There are three things that come to mind in this. One is there must be recognition. If we're going to have foresight, and by the way, the word foreseeth here in the original language means to see. It's just a simple term in the Hebrew. Means to see. It's translated as the word gaze or perceiving. It is to view. It is to look or to look upon or to look at. And so you see these things as you go through life. There first of all must be recognition. You see it. You ever been driving down the road and you see something in the road? You recognize it. There's something there, but you don't know quite what it is. And so what do? Not only do you have recognition, you must have discernment. And so as you're driving down the road and you see something in the road and you recognize there's something there, I'm not sure exactly what it is. It could be a hole. It could be a part of a tire. It could be a stone. It could be anything. But as you get closer, you can make discernment. And you can realize, well, it's paper or it's cement or it's a big hole in this pavement. And then you're going to have to make a judgment. And so if a man is going through life and he talks about the prudent man or he talks about the simple, as he looks down the road, you have to have recognition and you have to have discernment, but then you're going to have an evaluation. That's the third thing. Evaluate. And so as you drive and you see that thing in the road, you see you have recognition, you have discernment, then you have to evaluate. What do I need to do? Do I need to swerve? Maybe it's an animal laying there. But if I swerve, I might cause a 10-car pileup. Sorry about the animal. I don't mean to offend animal rights people, but you have to make some evaluations. And so you have to recognize, you have to discern, and you have to evaluate. You know that's true as we go through life. All the things that we face in our life, we have to recognize, and we have to make discernment, and we have to evaluate. Now, Solomon, in all of his wisdom, is giving us instruction, and he says that a wise person will do that. A wise person will look on, see that, and avoid it. And not keep right on going because he knows the pitfall, knows the judgment. So therefore, what we learn from this passage is the lesson is to avoid punishment. We must have some foresight. So to receive the blessing, it requires an appropriate response. To see it, it's wrong, avoid it. That's the right response, isn't it? So may I express it this way as in conjunction with the title that I've given to the message? I said to you that to receive a blessing, it requires an appropriate response. How about this? To receive a blessing, it requires proper course adjustment. As we go through life, you want to be blessed. You have to make proper course adjustment. If you do, God will bless you. Now that's the discussion of the text. That's what I see from the verse itself and things that we can learn from the passage. But let's make an application of this. Life and living and everything within it is imperfect. Of course, that excludes God. God is absolutely perfect. There's nothing wrong with God, but everything else in life. I know that you might think that this person over here is a good person and a perfect person. You might think that your spouse is perfect, your children are perfect, or whatever the case might be. But you know what? Everything in life is imperfect except for God. There are curves in the road. There are slants to the highway. It's going to be uphill, downhill, right and left. There's going to be problems with the vehicle. Life is imperfect. And as a result of that, we need to understand that as we go through this life, there will always be a need for a course adjustment. How do I know life is imperfect? But it looks so good, you say. Well, you know, a line may look straight, but the closer scrutiny shows the details of the line. Did you ever notice that? You know, a dot matrix printer, they still have those in working today. Dot matrix printers may look letter quality, but if you look close enough, you'll find that those letters actually consist of a bunch of tiny dots. You look at it, and you look at the print, and you go, wow, that's tremendous. This looks like it's solid. But if you get down close enough, you see all these little dots. It looked good, but there were dots in it. You take a Google map. You have a Google map, and you want to get some directions, and they'll put that line out there. And it'll go from here to there, and it's a straight line, right? Google something and see if that's not the case. And you get this straight line in there, but if you start zooming in, you'll find out as you got closer, as they show the United States, and you want to go from Memphis to Nashville, it'll show a straight line. But you start zooming in, and you start getting down to the counties, and you get down to this, you know, closer in, you'll see it's not a straight line from here to Nashville. It's crooked all over the place, and there are turns, and there are all kinds of things that take place from here to Nashville. And the closer you zoom in, the more you see those zigs and those zags. As an inspector, I've had to look for burrs on the parts that we manufactured. I was told once, if you look close enough, you'll find a burr on anything. Well, that's really true. I mean, I might take a part, and it might look good and everything, but you could feel there might be a burr. But you might not feel anything, so you look at it under a magnification or a magnifier, and maybe a 3 times magnifier, and you don't see anything. But you go to 10 times, you look at a microscope, and you might still not see anything. Well, let's just keep bumping it up. The more you magnify it, eventually you'll find a burn. It's true. The closer you look at anything, the more you'll find it's imperfect. And as you go through life and you think, well, everything is perfect, that person's perfect, boy, that this person over here, they have the best life, don't you realize that from a distance it looks like a straight line, but you know what? If you look at someone's life close enough, it might seem that they have it all together, and it might seem that they're perfect, but if you look close enough, you're going to see the dots, and you're going to see the zigs and the zags. And that person has made small adjustments along the way so that they might stay as close to center as possible. As a result, when you look at it, it appears that they've done everything perfect, but they know that it's a consummation of the course corrections. When I was a teenager, my stepsister told me one time, she says, "You're perfect." She really believed I was perfect. She just didn't know me well enough. But she was just looking at it from the stand back. You know, she wasn't looking close enough. But my life is full of zigs and zags and course corrections, adjustments. And so you might look at a particular preacher or teacher, family member, and you might say, boy, that person's had a good life, a great life. They're straight as an arrow, nothing wrong there. The only reason it looks like that is because they've made a series of small adjustments that as they started to err, they'd get back on course. And if they go the other way, they'd get back on course. And they just wouldn't let it go. They stayed with it. And so, therefore, it looks like the line is straight. But I want to remind you that everything in life is imperfect. People are imperfect. Events are imperfect. Organizations are imperfect. Everything is imperfect in this life except for God. And so that being the case, there are then, what we learn from this passage, there are then good and evil things in this life. And we know that to be true. In all of our lives, we're faced with good and evil, with righteousness and unrighteousness. Now the question is this, which will you pursue? You know people, think of somebody you know that's pursuing evil. You can give me names if I asked you to. What's wrong? They're pursuing it. Then you have others that you know that are pursuing that which is good, that which is right. So which are you pursuing today in your life? The Bible talks about a prudent man is going to foresee the evil and avoid it. The simple is going to pass on. Which are you pursuing? Which are you following after? Which will you let come into your life? The evil or the righteous? Which will you choose? And I ask you, are you willing to make course correction? If you see yourself getting off course, are you willing to make that correction? If the nose is starting to come down too far, are you willing to pull that steering wheel back a little bit, let that nose and that plane come up? Are you willing to make those corrections? And then I ask you, will you make the adjustments when they're small? Or are you going to wait until it takes a major change? We're going to discuss that a little bit further in a few moments. But I'll tell you, my friend, it's much simpler. If as you go through life and you see there's a need for a course adjustment, to make the minor adjustment now, than to just let it go. And then you have to make a big one. It's much better to do the small. So we know that life is imperfect. We know that there is good and there is evil. But we learn from the passage, in practical application, we learn to avoid the consequences of evil. We must have foresight. And I'll give you some examples of this in just a moment. Remember those three things I said unto you about being able to foresee? I talked about recognition. I talked about discernment. I talked about evaluation. Just mentioned them really in passing. But if we want to avoid the consequences of evil in our lives, we must have foresight. We must be able to see what's ahead of us. There must be a recognition of our circumstances and the choices of which we're making. Some people go through life oblivious. They really don't care. And we might look at them and say, that's a very simple person. And that'd be an appropriate attachment, wouldn't it? You have to have recognition of your circumstances and your choices. See what's going on. Don't bury your head in the sand. Secondly, you have to have discernment. You have to discern your condition and you have to discern your pathway. Where are you headed? What is down the road? If you continue this course, where will you be? Every one of us have to make those decisions on a continual basis. As we have to go through our life, traveling through this life, we have to make those adjustments. Are you going to make them? Some people, as you know, they get off the path and they just keep right on veering the path off. They don't care. They would rather pursue that. And that's their option if they desire to do so. We need to make recognition. We have to have discernment. And then, of course, if we want to avoid the evil that comes and the consequences that are attached to it, we have to evaluate the conditions of life and how to react to them. Just as if you're going through down the road and you see that thing in the road, you have to make a decision. What am I going to do about this? As you go through the road of life, you have to make decisions. How am I going to handle this? How am I going to respond to this? What's that going to do down further? If I get off here, if I swerve here, if I put on my brakes, what do I do here? And how's that going to affect me further? If you want to avoid the consequences of evil, you best have some foresight. This Solomon said, the prudent man, he foresees the evil and he hides himself. He doesn't keep right on going at it. But the simple, those that don't have much wisdom, they just keep right on going, having a good time, and the Bible says they are punished. And so we have to realize that life is imperfect. There's bad and there is good. But we want to have some foresight. But to avoid the consequences of evil, very clearly, we must choose the appropriate response. We have to make course adjustment. Course adjustment. I'm going to invite you to turn some verses. I'm tempted because I've taken so much time to this point to just refer these to you, but I'm not going to. Deuteronomy chapter 5. I think that we need to look at some of these. There, what I want to do very quickly is just give you some biblical considerations. I'm not looking at Proverbs 22:3, yanking it out of context and just making up something. What I'm saying to you has substance. And there are some biblical considerations about our lives and about the pathway which we're on, the roads which we have. Three things I want to give to you and some verse references in connection with this. First of all, I want to mention that obedience to God is the path that you should take. As you go through this life, you want to be obedient to God. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Now, I know it's a statement unto the children of Israel, but in verse 32, he says this. You shall observe to do, therefore, as the Lord your God hath commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Israel, hear God's words. Obey Him. Stay on the path. And if you start to veer, you got to come back. If you start to sway a little bit, you got to come back. But don't turn to the right hand or to the left. Follow God. Keep His commandments. You know, Joshua said the same thing over in Joshua chapter 23 to the children of Israel after they came into the land. Told him the same thing. You follow God. You keep His commandments. Don't turn from the right hand or to the left. Turn, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. Notice verse 21. Again, just as a reference. This is God blessing the nation of Israel, but there's a statement here. Notice as it's expressed, of that blessing, verse 21, we pick it up there, and it says, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand, and when you turn to the left. This is the way." You know, I'm glad that through my life I had people to give me guidance. I'm glad that I've had parents, and I've had teachers, and I've had preachers help give me guidance. Family members give guidance, like that voice behind saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it. You're getting off a little bit, pull it back." When both Ryan and Chad, when they first started learning to drive, as I was trying to teach them going down the road, you have to deal with that. When they start to get too close to the sideline or too close to the center, you're drifting, pay attention, look where you're at, come back a little bit. Oh, you're too far, come over. Aren't you glad that God is there and He says, this is the way, walk in it. And if we start to drift, He's there saying, hey, come back, come back. I'm so glad that God does that. I'm going to make a quick reference to 2 Chronicles chapter 30. In 2 Chronicles chapter 30, there's a reference in the time of Hezekiah. And they're coming back to a place of response to God. They were going to offer up the Passover and all that. But there's a statement in reference that I wanted to give you out of 2 Chronicles chapter 30 and in verse 9. He says, if you turn again unto the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful and will not turn away His face from you if you return unto Him. What's the point of that? They were facing judgment because of their sin against God. And He said, if you come back, so if you see you start to go off a little, come back. If you're not going fast enough, then speed up. If you're off the other side, then come back. Listen, if you want, I'm going to read to you Zechariah chapter 1, verse 3. Again, Zechariah the prophet says, therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord, turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Turn to me, and I submit unto you as you go through life. Obedience to God is the path that you should take. Jesus told us in John chapter 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. My priority in life ought to walk to drive the road of obedience to God, to follow after Jesus Christ and all of His commandments. That's the best road to take. Then if you would go to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Not only do I mention unto you very quickly that obedience is the path you should take, I also want to say that it's the path of righteousness, and it's the path of righteous living. That's God's desire for us, that we would live a holy life. Psalm 27, just a few references. Verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of mine enemies. What kind of path do you think that was? Wouldn't that be the path of righteousness? Wouldn't that be the path that God would have David to walk? Lead me in the plain path. Go to Psalm 119. 119. Verse 35. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. How should we live, my friend? Following after God. Make me to go in your path, Lord. Let me to follow your commandments. Proverbs chapter 4. And I'll just have one more reference. Proverbs chapter 4. Look at verse 26. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Do you get the idea that obedience to God is the path that we should take? That it's a matter of righteousness and a righteous life? Absolutely. Now I'm submitting unto you that we ought to make course adjustment. That as we go through this life, hey, should we make those changes if we see that we're starting to get off course? Absolutely. Turn to one other passage, Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Have you ever heard the proverb, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure? Now, that's what we say in our society. Listen very carefully. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. It's much better to make the course of adjustment. It's much better to foresee the evil and hide yourself than to pass on and be punished. It's much better to fix it now than to wait till later when it's going to be very difficult to fix. Is this a biblical premise? I've asked you to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Look at verse 10. If the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, then must he put more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. In other words, take an axe, and if the axe is dull, if you're not wise enough to sharpen the axe, you've got to put a whole lot more strength in there to cut. But if wisdom will direct you, you will whet the edge. You will take it to the wheel, and you'll sharpen that thing. And so that thing is razor sharp. Then when you swing, you don't have to swing near as hard. That's an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. See what's going on, and wisdom will direct you. You've got a problem here. You need to fix it. If you don't, it's going to get worse, and it's going to get worse. So you go back to our text here in the book of Proverbs, and we want to look at Proverbs chapter 22, verse 3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, and the simple pass on and are punished. I've given you some biblical considerations. Let me very quickly adapt the practical application of the text and the title. Remember, we're talking about this text with the title of Course Adjustment. With this practical application, there are a few things I want to say in premise, and then I'm going to give you some examples. First of all, if we're going to apply these things, we must have some elements of staying on course. What would they be? Number one, we have to have knowledge of the true course. Number two, we have to know when things begin to err. And number three, make course correction or proper adjustment. Therefore, if we know the right path is God's path, if it's His commandments and obedience and righteousness, then we have to know the rightness. We have to know the truth. We have to know the Bible. And as we know what God wants, then we know that when things begin to err, as soon as we start drifting off, we'll know that. If you know the truth, you know when you're off. But then it'll be necessary for us to make course correction, to make those proper adjustments. Now, the Bible tells us in our passage that a wise man will do this. He foresees the evil and he avoids it. He hides himself. We're wise if we would do that. And so the elements of staying on course is having a knowledge, know when you err, and then get it back online. Secondly, I would submit unto you, make the small adjustments so you don't have to make the large ones. Get it when it's small. As we say, nip it in the bud. We hear about preventive medicine, don't we? Well, it helps. If you take care of the preventive medicine, then it should help you later on. It's sad to hear, well, you know, if we'd only caught it sooner. And some people hear those sad words from the doctor. You have cancer, but if we'd have caught it months ago, you'd have been better off. Now we can't do nothing about it. It happens, doesn't it? Wouldn't you rather make small adjustments than wait for the large ones? That being said, a few practical areas of life which require consistent course adjustment. And I say this as discreet and as humble as possible. Let me give you some ideas. Course adjustment. What about the areas of desiring illicit or illegal drugs? You say, we're a good group here. We don't have any. Well, you never know. When I was a teenager, 15, 16, I went to a public high school and drugs were all around. That was back in the 70s. You know, that was the main, you know, right out of the 60s into the 70s. And I know I'm telling my age, but I look it anyway. So the illegal drugs. And I remember standing there looking in the mirror in my bathroom. I wanted to try drugs because it was a curious kind of thing. And you know how, well, maybe you've never been tempted with it, but I wanted to try it. And do you know what kept me from trying drugs? I looked in the mirror and I said to myself, if you tried it once, it will ruin your life. And I believe that with all of my heart. And it wasn't worth, let's figure this out. Let's solve the curiosity. It wasn't worth the chance. And I'm so glad by God's grace. Never, ever tried illegal or illicit drugs. But you know what kept me from it? As that evil was right there before me, and I had a choice to make, I chose not to. Course correction. Oh, there's so many things in life. Tempted to imbibe alcoholic beverages. I'll tell you, we drill this in our kids' heads over and over and over. If you do it, it'll ruin your life. It'll ruin your life. It'll ruin your life. You have to keep in mind, you say, well, I can control it. I want you to know that every drunkard starts out with one drink. Everyone starts out with one. And eventually it gets out of control. You can either make the course correction now, or you might get to the place where you can't course correct. Don't follow after it. You might be stealing from the petty cash drawer. You say, well, it's only 50 cents here. It's only 75 cents here. You might be cheating on your time card. Someone clocking out for you. You fudging the time a little bit. You know what? That's stealing. And if you do that, it might be going on. If you don't fix that, it might be something else. Course correct. Course correct. Make some adjustments. Flirting with that coworker, with that neighbor, with a friend. Everybody flirts from time to time, but I'll tell you, there are limits and there are guidelines. You better be very, very careful, because if you start flirting too much, it's going to go over the line, and you're going to see you're getting off the path, and you're going the wrong way, and you're going to wish you hadn't gone down that road. Course correction. You have to make some changes. When we went to the camp for the senior trip, a guy preached on the dark side of the internet. Excellent message. I wish I could get a copy of it and let everybody hear it. But he talked about the chat rooms and the websites and the webcams and the wrong websites and pornography and all that can be found. The internet is good, but there's so much bad that's on there. And you have to be very, very careful. And you better stay away from the dark side of the internet. Because if you start to err, if you don't make a course correction, you're going to find yourself way off. And you might find it incredibly difficult to get back. Make course correction. If you're starting to fool around with that, starting to dabble with that, make course correction. You say, well, if I do it again later, then make course correction. So I drive down the road. If I drift off to the right, I pull it back to center. If I drive off to the right again, what do? I pull it back to center. And we have to make course correction. Warning signs pop up that you have the wrong type of friends. This is especially for young people. You know what? Those signs giving you, hey, you got the wrong person there. They're trying to get you to do this. They're trying to get you to do that. If I had a friend that tried to get me to drink and do drugs, I'd say, you know what? You're no friend of mine. Wouldn't do it. Change. Make some course corrections. Evidence your marriage has crashed with the huge waves and it's headed toward the rocks. You better be making some adjustments. You just can't let it go. You just can't just close your eyes and say, well, I hope we make it through. You're going to have some course adjustments. What do you need to do? You need to make some changes. Parents see the children drifting away, increasingly making poor choices. What you're doing just isn't working. You have to make some changes. You have to adapt. You have to tweak it a little. And what about the physical health? Oh, we could talk about that for a long time, couldn't we? We all know about physical health. We have to make some changes. If we don't make changes, we're going to find out later on. We have to make some course adjustments. But let me primarily then mention a few spiritual reminders and I'll give you a conclusion. Is the busyness of life squeezing out your prayer? Just too busy to pray? You got to make some course adjustments. No time to spend in the Bible? You got to make some course adjustments. Any wee thing hinders you from church? Just any little old thing, better make some course adjustments. Failing to tithe, give your offerings, better make some course adjustments. You can do as you wish, but I'll tell you, when you see God's way and you start to err from that, you need to bring it back. Voice behind you, this is the way, walk in it. Course adjustment. And what about the area of personal holiness in our lives? Is it of little concern or big concern? Course adjustment. Course adjustment. If you see yourself straying, you see yourself going away, you don't have a concern about evil and corruption anymore, and you're just getting colder and colder and further and distant from God, you know what? Course adjust. Course adjust. I do it all the time, and you need to do it all the time. We have to course adjust because we're corrupt, we're depraved, we're sinners saved by grace, and we have a tendency to go away from God. And we need to course correct. We need to make some adjustments. You've heard the message. You've heard the text. You've heard the application. In conclusion then, number one, we know life requires continual course adjustment. That's the way life is. Number two, it's best to make the small corrections than to wait for the major. Rather do it now than to wait till later. Number three, a wise man will foresee and adjust, but the foolish is going to keep on. Are you wise or foolish today? Making decisions, choices. Make some corrections. Adjust. Because in the end, you're going to regret that. Number four, Christian, we must rely upon Christ for our course adjustments. By that, I refer to John chapter 15, verse 5, where Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Without Jesus, I can do nothing. I cannot course correct without Jesus. I must depend and rely upon Him completely. Course correction. And then lastly, sinner, the greatest need that you have is a great major change. That is, you need to be brought from death to life, from darkness to light, and you must be saved by Jesus Christ and by His grace. Only He can give you eternal life. Would you be saved today? That's the biggest thing in your life, to get on the right path. follow Jesus. Let me give you this, and I quit. On the senior trip, well, I told you that we went whitewater rafting. It wasn't real vicious rapids, but we went whitewater rafting, and I was the guide for my raft. Never done that before, but as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, I soon learned that I was just a rudder. And it took me a while to learn that, but when I learned that, I learned what I needed to do is to make small adjustments and not big adjustments. And I had to make those small adjustments on a continual basis. The people in my raft, they had a good time. There were times they would rest. I was never resting. I mean, the whole 2 hours all the way down that river, I'm back there twisting and turning and trying to keep the thing going straight. Because any time the boat started to drift a little, I had to make a course adjustment. And it took me a while to figure out I had to make just a little one. Because if I go too much, then it starts going the other way. And then I'd chew that, I'd go back that way. And then we get around backwards, and I'm going over to this side. We're getting stuck on rocks. I was a terrible rudder. But I tried. But I did learn as I went down that river. I didn't need to make big adjustments. I needed to make little adjustments. And as I made those little adjustments, if I see we started to go a little bit, I'd just touch it just a little bit, and we'd straighten up. We go the other way, straighten just a little bit. And what I learned was I had to just keep making adjustments. And if I overcorrected, then I had to make an adjustment from that continual course adjustment. That's what it was. That's what life is. So we read, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. The simple pass on and are punished. You can do as you wish, but I'm telling you, there's a way to live this life and there's a way to follow God and be obedient. And when God brings that to your attention, you better be making some course correction or you just might end up in disaster. Tragedy. Would you be instructed by that today? Would you be encouraged? Every Christian here, would you be willing to make some course adjustments? And you'll have to do it all your life. I have to do it all my life. Course adjustment. It's wise if we do so. I pray that you receive it in the intent in which I've given it. And may God bless your hearts as a result. Let's stand. Brother Paul, would you please come? We'll sing a song. I don't know the need of your heart. God certainly does. And right where you stand, you can talk to him about it. You can make some course adjustments right where you are. Whatever your need is, you just deal with God as he deals with you. In any area, might be just in the business world, it might be in the family world, it might be in the church world, it might be in spiritual aspects. You deal with God as God deals with you. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the opportunity to share your word, and I pray that you speak it to our hearts and guide us by your Spirit. Father, help us always be sensitive to your leading and your guiding. And as you're directing our lives, Father, help us to realize when we begin to get off course, we begin to make wrong choices. Lord, I pray that you'd bring us back on center by your grace and by your mercy. Let us not waver. Let us not get out of control. Cause us to make course adjustments on a regular basis. And we pray that you'll do that through Jesus Christ. And we ask that you'd save the lost today and strengthen the saved. In Jesus' name, amen. What number, Brother Paul?